Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Monica Michelle coming to you from Michelle Minutes 2 with another episode of Her Story. That's right, Her Story. So, and this episode is actually sponsored by SMU. So if you want to learn more about social media and how to be a social media manager, then you'll definitely want to connect with those guys over there. So where you can find me, I'm on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, all that good stuff. And my handle in all the places is the same as this Blog Talk Radio channel. It is Monica Michelle S. So that's MonicaMichelleS. Monica Michelle S. I would love to connect with you. I would love to hear from you and learn more about what you are working on. So this these series of episodes that we have going on right now is called Her Story. This is our seventh installment, and we're just speaking with ladies so that we can talk about what her story is. How did she start her business? Why did she start a business? What's some objections that she had to overcome to figure out what businesses to start? Or what are things that she had to overcome in the midst of being in business? Because sometimes when you're in business, things happen, and of course, life is never always rosy. You have to have the ups with the downs. And so they're just speaking to us and sharing this story about their journey, about what they've been through and what they're going through and what they're working on and who they're trying to help, who their business helps resolve the problem for, because your business is an answer to someone's problem. So just so you know, I'm getting over a little bit of a cold. So in return, I might not be talking that much because from time to time I start coughing. But I'm going to do my best to make it through, and I'm sure we're going to have a fabulous conversation today. So let's see if, and I hope I'm saying her name correctly, Sharnessa Roach is online. Let me see if she's here. And, of course, she'll let me know if I'm saying her name right.
Hello.
Are you? Awesome. How are you doing?
I'm great, thank you. And you said it right, it's Sharnessa. So, yep, that's absolutely correct.
Yay! Thank you. Glad to hear it. So, from my understanding, you've been in business as My Coach Char for 9 years. Is that right?
Yes, I have been a certified life coach. This is my 10th year, and I started my business a little bit after that. So, yes.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. Everyone doesn't get certified. Some people just jump out and start doing it. So that's always a good thing. I'm in the midst of being certified myself. So congratulations on your 10th year anniversary.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit more about what you do, please.
So I coach moms. I actually help moms who want to pursue their dreams while they're raising their children. And someone somewhere has told them that they can't have both. And so within that dream, is it being starting a small business? Is it that I want to look at another career? Is it that I just don't want to have the insecurities and doubts that have plagued me all my life? So that is what I do, is really help mom move forward. Because the thing I believe, Monica, is our children see us and they emulate us. And if we don't fly, then they have a smaller probability of flying themselves. But if they see you fly, you're their model for that, and they believe, you know what, mama flew, so I can too.
That's definitely true. They say actions speak louder than words. So before we get too far in, let me ask, because the time will fly by on us, please tell everyone, where can we find you?
Okay, so across all social media, it's My Coach Char, MyCoachChar, and so it's on Instagram, it's on Facebook, and my website is www.mycoachchar.com.
Cool. Okay, so what made you start helping moms specifically as opposed to any other demographic?
So I have, the backstory to that is when I first started, I was a few years ago, I had some issues and had to find new employment. And as a result, right. I ended up helping people start a small business. And in that, I saw that there were a lot of men that started businesses more than women, and I did not know what in the world was going on. And what I realized through time was women were – they had a lot more stuff that they had to contend with. They had the babies to contend with. Does society think I should? Does my family support me? You know, who's going to help take care of the family? Who's going to help clean? Who's going to cook? And so they had all right. those things. And the other thing that they had that really bothered me was the low – belief in their ability to operate a successful business. And sure. I said, you know what, I got to find something that I can do to help people start a small business. And my passion has always been for women, to see them succeed, to see them be incredibly successful at whatever it is they say they want to do. And so it was just learning. Coaching was kind of new to me about 10 years ago. And so I just put the two together and married the business planning with the life coaching.
Oh, cool. So business planning and life coaching kind of goes together mm-hmm. or works hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
In the midst of you being in business, do you have little people? Did you find it difficult trying to balance that life? Or how do you do it, you know?
I do have little people, but they're not so little no more. They are, they're 12, and he's 12, and he's 5'8", so he's not little. And his sister is 15, and so she's not so little anymore, but I did, because I've been a coach for 10 years, so I started when they were young. And for a lot of years, I thought, man, I'm gone. I'm at this expo. I'm writing this book. I'm doing this training. I'm missing them. And while they did, the times when I was there, I made count. And I did special things for us. But beyond that, what I taught them was a resilience and a responsibility. And they would have to take care of themselves because Mama wasn't always going to be there. And so while we still are close, that was the thing I did not think would happen. But as a result, they're very independent and able to manage without me always being there to do things for them.
Yeah, and that's definitely, I personally don't have any children, but I'm the oldest of seven, and I have nine nieces and nephews, and I've always been around kids in some form or fashion. I think it was like second grade, I would go back and help the kindergartners. I would skip lunch and go to the kindergartner's classroom. So I always went and helped the younger kids, and that's one thing that I remember learning is as the community, our older people, older adults that are around children, one thing that we all have a responsibility to do, and that's to help mold them and bend them so that they can know how to be self-sufficient, but also know that I'm here for you if you need me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to teach you something so you can know that you can do this, but at the same time, if you need me, I'm here. Like, that's always something important to show them as well as teach them. So that's something special that they were able to get from you. So tell me more, what are some of the biggest challenges that you typically run into and when working with women? And if a man was to come to you or a non-mom were to come to you and say, hey, I need some help, would you be able to assist, or do you kind of refer them out?
No, you know what? As long as we're a fit for each other, then it's fine. So I have helped non-moms. I have also helped men. The majority of the business planning part has been men. I just find that my heart is positioned more for moms, but I'll help all kinds of folks. And so some of the challenges that really keep moms, women, even men stuck is that belief system. You know, with entrepreneurship, a lot of people won't tell you, is a lonely kind of thing. You know, as your coach, speaker, author, you know, business consultant, doing all those things, that's normally me, just by myself. There isn't too many other people that I have in the room preparing these or whatever, speaking or that kind of thing. So it's all me. So entrepreneurship can be lonely. And sometimes having that much solitude, you tend to think of stuff that has gone wrong or is going wrong. And your negative belief system is the biggest barrier I have found with women. And it doesn't matter because I've coached pastors and ministers and evangelists, and it's still the same thing, even for folks that have a deep abiding faith. It was the same for me, is that belief system that I can. And the other thing is, should I? You know, I've got a husband, I have a good job, you know, my kids are okay, we live in a good neighborhood, I've got some money saved, do I need to? Should I start a business? And so helping them to make the decision that whatever you want, it's your life. Nobody can take the responsibility for it or be held accountable for it but you. But helping them to see that is this your dream and tapping into that. So really the big thing is should I when I don't really, nothing says that I really have to, but my heart says it. And then really getting them to dismantle and to destroy those negative beliefs that have kept them stuck and encircled in fear and insecurity that has allowed them to stay playing small when they know greatness is really their portion.
Ooh, that's good. You have to say that again. Playing small and what?
Greatness is really their portion.
Ooh, now I'm over here taking notes. Playing small when greatness is really their portion. That's good right there. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and it's crazy as far as how we can talk ourselves out of things. I've caught myself doing it as I've gotten older. Whereas when I was a kid, it was always more or less, well, how can I make this work? I want to do it. Okay, great. How can I make it work? How can I figure this thing out? And as I've gotten older, sometimes I'm like, well, yeah, I want to do it. But it's like, maybe later. You know, I'll push it back, and then time will go on, and it'll pop up again. And I'm like, and I'll push it back, you know, and I'll try to, like, get around it. And so I've been trying to be more intentional with it and be more aware because it's something that, sometimes it's really begging at your heart. It's pulling your heartstrings. It's something that, you know, you've been putting off for a long time. It's definitely good.
It is indeed a desire. And that's the thing that as part of being a coach, I keep you accountable. You tell me what it is you're dreaming about, what it is you believe God has purposed you to do, what it is you want to do. And so that's a desire. And people have made desire to be a bad thing. It is intentionally not a bad thing. The Bible says God will give you the desires of your heart. That's the longing.
Right.
That's the wanting. Those are the things that anchor you. And so looking at that for a mom who's amazing and she takes care of the soccer team and she takes care of her husband and she's active at church, but at the end of the night, she doesn't have a thing for her. And Monica, that is so near and dear to me because that was me. I didn't have a thing. And my daughter, who challenged me, she was probably about 6. And she said, well, you know what, Mom? You tell everybody else they can have their dreams. What about you?
No.
Now, I don't know about anybody else, but usually our kids are the gut punchers. And like, I'll get you some business. She was absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. And so I had to do a check and say, you know what, she's right, because there are some things that I want. Why can't I go get them? Like you said, when you were younger, you thought, I'll make this happen, and we get older and life happens, and we begin to believe the lies or the circumstances that allowed us to fail or not reach our goal the last time when we don't remember the lesson. I either win or I learn. I don't
lose. Right. Absolutely not. That's good right there. And it's crazy because I remember growing up, one thing that I've always been, I'm not going to say afraid, but leery of is dogs. So I've always kind of had a thing for dogs. I've never been bit by one. They've kind of like run out and frightened me from time to time. But the way I see it is we don't talk the same language. So I don't know what you want. You don't know what I want. So I have a healthy respect. I don't want you to die. I will throw food to you, but just stay over there and I'm going to stay over here. And I remember when my niece was born, and she was about 1 or 2, and we would, like, take walks and stuff. And I remember we saw a lady walking with her dog. The dog was on a leash. And the first thing, you know, I got a little nervous, but then I was like, okay, the one thing I don't want to do is teach her to be scared of dogs because I don't even know why I'm scared of dogs. And so I had to check myself. And in return, like, she'll walk up to the dog, and I say, is it okay for her to touch them because she wants to pet them, and they move forward with it. But it's the same thing, especially when they ask, what is it that, what's your dream? What is it that you want to focus on? What is it that you want to do? That's definitely, you know, everyone else can have their dream. Why don't you have yours? And I remember also when I moved out of the house from my mom and would you go to college, and then when everyone started leaving, I was like, all right, Mom, you know, it's about time for you to start doing what you want to do. You know, you're single mom. What is it that you want to do? Because growing up, she was always in some kind of business that we were helping her with. So what do you want to do? And she said, I don't know. And I said, okay, well, let's pick something and try it. If you like it, great. Mm-hmm. If you don't, try something else.
Mm-hmm.
When someone comes to you and they say, well, I know that I want more, but I don't know what the more is. I don't know where to begin, or I have tons of interest, or maybe they're like me when I was growing up, and it's like everything I put my hand at, I seem like I do a great job at it, but I don't really know if that's the thing. How do you help them figure that, what the desire actually is? What do you
recommend? We go through a series of exercises, and from those exercises, we discover some things. And I like to say that on the first call, I usually get results. So I tell people, I find out where your heart is that first call. And usually, after some questions, after some exercises, because there's a questionnaire people get before they even come to me that asks them some things, and we just go through. And I try to, so this, for instance, here's one. I'll just give this away. When you are in a room full of people and you're speaking, you say, what's your desire? And they write something down. And you say, okay, write something else down. And they write it down. You say, now write something else down. When you get, and you give them a minute, and then you go back and say, now what's the one thing you didn't put down that you want to put down? And they usually put it down. And you ask them, why didn't you put that down in the first place? Because a lot of times it's fear. You believe that other people can be successful, but you don't believe that you can because you tried this or you tried that and it didn't work out. And so a lot of times that's what it is, and we work through some of that. And sometimes it really is, I don't know. And at that time, we go back and we look at what's something you do very well, that you do effortlessly. And just like you said with your mom, we try some stuff. And normally my clients are with me 6 months to a year. So we figure out within that time frame what it is, and we do some personal development work. And after we do the personal development work, we do visualization, we do writing. We do, one of my favorite is a brain dump. How many times as a woman is your brain just clouded with everything? And especially for my moms that are married, they've got their husband's doctor's appointment, they got the kids' doctor's appointments and track schedules, they've got their stuff, and if they're in my generation, they've got parents they're taking care of and kids they're taking care of, then they have civic duties, you know, they may be in a sorority or a club or an organization or active in their church or community, and you have all that stuff. And so sometimes if you can take all of that out, then that one thing can come to you. The other thing I recommend always is prayer. And so whatever denomination or non-denomination or belief you have, there's always a centering where you really hear from the core, you hear from your spirit, and you can usually hear that, and that'll like click something and like, oh, you know what? I thought about this. Okay, let's talk about that. So without giving away too many details, that's some of the stuff that I do to help people get connected with that.
Oh, so this is cool. This is cool. Would you say, because now, or maybe it's, you know, how when you say, I'm going to buy a black Toyota, then you start seeing black Toyotas everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so since I've started taking my classes to become certified in life coaching, I've, on Instagram or Facebook or wherever, I'm like, well, dog, I don't remember ever seeing coaches before. Now I see it every time I turn around. So would you say that coaches need coaches, or coaches are for people that are trying to figure something out?
Listen, I got a coach. I'm going to just go ahead and tell you that. I got a coach because I'm growing and scaling up my business, but I still have some internal stuff I'm working on too. And I never want people to think I'm perfect. I just may be a few steps ahead of you. But I have a coach that I just met with Tuesday, and I meet again this Tuesday. We meet twice a month. And that's helping me push myself and my business in another direction. So coaches absolutely need coaches. The thing about that is you pour everything out into your people, your clients, into you. Who's standing in a place to hold you accountable and root for you? Because you need that. Just like if you're that for somebody, why would you think you don't need that for yourself?
And that's good. Yeah, absolutely. Would you say that there's typically an age group that needs more coaching than another, or coaching is not for?
You know what? I think it's different. I think everybody could use a coach. I think everybody could use a coach. But what I find, I don't coach women under the age of 35. I just don't. 35 to 55 is my range, and it's because we're in the same genre. We're in the same age range, and so I understand them a little bit better. and I relate to them a little bit better. Younger people sometimes can be a little bit of a handful, so we clash, so you have to go head on. That's just the truth. But I think that everybody can benefit from a coach, because a coach that's worth her weight or his weight in gold is able to detect the blind spots that you can't feel. You see, but you don't know how you're going to get through. How can I address it? But that's what a coach does. You know you got that. You know fear is controlling you, right? Yeah, okay. Well, how are we going to get through it? I don't know. I just had this same fear for 20 years. I've always been afraid of God. Well, that's not something that you can keep. Okay,
right.
Well, how are we going to get through this? So that's what a coach can do. So I think so.
And it's funny because I remember how I started the journey of being certified and taking classes is I was working my 9-to-5, and I quit it back in February. And it was funny because, I don't know, maybe 3 months prior to me quitting, I had about four or five different people who didn't know each other, and we were all just having conversation individually, and they all said, you need to be a life coach. And I was like, no, I don't know what that is. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just telling you what I see and what I know, and you need to get yourself together. And so after the fifth person said it, I said, okay, it must be something to this. Let me do some investigation. So I found some life coaches that were certified, some that was not, had a conversation, and decided it was time for me to take the class itself. But it's amazing to me at just the sheer understanding of, I guess, growing up, or the group of friends that I typically surround myself with are typically older ladies. And they're sometimes almost older than you, my mom. But for the most part, I was like, so you mean to tell me, you teaching me to do what? Like, people don't have people in their lives that just automatically do this. And maybe it's just I was fortunate to have those types of people in my life. Because I was like, as a friend, this is what your friend does. They tell you what you can't see about yourself. They tell you that your butt stink.
No, ma'am, they don't. No, ma'am, they don't. They don't. You know, and that's you were fortunate to have those ladies in your life. Because you do have people that will not tell you that. You know, we've all seen those actresses and actors and musicians on TV at the award shows, and we're like, her friend, really, and her friend, because she loves to come out here like that. That's just how it is.
America, out of sign of bad.
Right. And some people out here like that. It's the, well, you know what, I don't really want to do that anymore. And I think by and large, there's something in this in the air that people don't want to be held accountable. And so you, with those older ladies, you ain't had no choice because they wasn't having it. I know that. So yes, you became accustomed to it. You were open to it. But by and large, that's not something that folks are doing. They don't let you pull their coattail. They just, well, yeah, honey, you know what? It's just me. Okay. And so rather than tell them, you just move on with your life. Because sometimes it ain't even worth the aggravation. But you would hope that there are people that tell them that. If they're not, they can call me, and I'd be happy to tell them.
Right. So we are, surprisingly enough, nearing our time of our 30-minute limit. That fast.
Okay.
And so do you have any final words or anything that you would like to share about yourself or about coaching in general, or just anything you would like to share to someone who is contemplating searching for their desire?
Well, the first thing I want to say is keep searching, because if you're searching, you're already on the right track, and don't give up. It may take you a little bit of time, but keep searching. We're put here on this earth to do something, and it is up to you to find that, so don't quit. The other thing I want to tell people is coaching is not two things about coaching. Coaching is not a magic formula. You have to do the work. You need somebody who cares enough about you to speak the truth, but who's gentle enough to cushion your blow and be a safe place for you to land. And I tell my clients that all the time, I am a safe place for you to land. The other thing about coaching is it works. It works, y'all. I've had some women who have been successful, and they alone just continue to refer people to me because coaching works. Be open to it, and especially for my mom, your dreams are just as important as your children's. And I don't care if your children are 2 or 22 or 42. Your dreams matter. And it is up to you to go find them, enjoy them, and live them.
That's good. Find them, enjoy them, and live them. Yeah, I'm taking notes.
Okay, well, thank you.
Look, they so good. I got to write it down. I write that down.
Thank you.
Well, I definitely appreciate you taking the time to speak with us this evening and just share what is on your heart and just, you know, giving us an opportunity to learn more about you. Before we go, if you'll be so kind, you said we can find you on Instagram and Facebook, My Coach Char, C-H-A-R.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep.
Awesome. And the website is mycoachchar.com.
Yep, mycoachchar.com. And I do a 30-minute complimentary session. So folks want to chat with me for free, they can do that. And they can set the appointment up right on my website.
Awesome. Sounds good. Well, again, thank you so much. I do appreciate it. We are going to continue the conversation in our Facebook group, and so I'll be inviting you over to there as well in case you want to come in and join us. And, again, thanks a lot. I'm going to sign off. Thanks, everybody, for coming and joining us, whether you're listening to the replay or catching us live. She certainly dropped some nuggets for us. And so remember to continue to be open. Your dreams definitely matter, and you have the right to find them, engage them, and live them. So thank you again for taking a moment to listen to Monica Michelle here on Michelle Minutes as we discuss her story. Because your story counts. It matters. And hopefully in listening to this, it just reinforces that again for you. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn at Monica Michelle S. And I love to hear from you if you're interested in joining us on the Facebook group. It's new. We're just setting it up. So you'll be able to help kick off some conversation in there. By all means, click the link in my bio and you'll be able to get in there. Again, this episode was sponsored by SMU. So if you're wanting to learn more about social media and social media management and how all of it works, by all means, you want to check those ladies out. I hope you have a great day, a great evening, and take the time to enjoy your dreams. This is Michelle Minutes signing off. Have a good evening.